It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Jonah, and we're going to begin reading in the third chapter of Jonah. And it's such a great revival that comes about, so we're going to read again the third chapter and into the fourth chapter. Not a lot of reading, but so important to kind of catch us back up from the last study that we had. So please open your Bibles to Jonah chapter 3, and we'll begin reading the first verse there. While you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street, which is one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is 217-847-2717. If you'd like to visit our website, it's parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that you would enjoy the study there. We have many studies, verse-by-verse studies of God's precious Word there. We have our Constitution, the plan of salvation. That please look at the site, and I hope that you enjoy it and come to know the Lord Jesus and grow from it as well. And so that's our hope and our prayer of that site. And if you'd like to email us, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either will work just fine. Now we'll read God's precious Word, Jonah chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, and proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even unto the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. He caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil ways, and God repented from the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly. He was very angry, and prayed unto the Lord, and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness and repentance thee of evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Now we're going to end with that third verse and begin with prayer. Father, thank you today that we can just enjoy this precious time together. I just ask that you will touch the hearts of all those that are listening as we go one verse at a time and enjoy this precious little book. It's so wonderful, so powerful. It's got such a message in it, and so please that just let all hear and listen, and it get to their, not to their ears only, but on to their mind and then down onto their heart. We know, Father, the statement's been made many times that the difference from a person going to heaven or to hell is just 18 inches from the brain to the heart. And so many people try to figure things out on their own, in their own way, and die in the process. We need to come by faith to you, dear Lord. Trust in you as your Son Jesus has died on the cross for us. Please, taking our sins away. This great revival that we see here, Father, just show us the joy of it. And then as we look at Jonah here and reading that fourth chapter, Father, we find that the greatest revival in all the world, and yet the preacher's disappointed. So sad. Father, just guide and lead us now as we study this precious word and just enjoy it, speak to our hearts with it, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we look through these verses of Scripture, and Jonah is one of my favorite books. I love the revival, and it shows the character of man, even when we see one of the greatest revivals that ever have taken place, and yet Jonah is displeased, as we've just read in the fourth chapter there. But as we kind of back up here, we find the distance, and just a little bit of review. We find the 3 days' journey across. We've talked about it, that it's really three cities. And today we would kind of call the suburbs, you might say, Nineveh being the capital. And as we spoke of the map last week there, last time we were together, while we were looking from Jerusalem, and if you look at where Joppa, because he went down to Joppa, if you remember, over against the coast, and again, it's way over 600 miles. It'd be 600 miles the way the crow would fly, and so we're a long way, long, great distance from there. And so it's so sad as we look at everything and we see all the desires of man not to see people saved. It's so sad as he fled away. And again, the Lord wasn't finished with him yet. And in the 10th verse of chapter 2, the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry land. And so what a privilege, what a joy for us to see that the Lord wasn't finished with him yet. And then at that time, why, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. And so it wasn't that Jonah remembered what he was supposed to do, didn't know what the Lord was going to do with him. He was just pleased that he was still alive, or back alive again, because I believe that Jonah had died as the Lord Jesus had died, was in the grave 3 days and three nights. So was Jonah in the belly of the fish, and we have quoted that many times as the Lord Jesus himself spoke it, and that gives this book such authority. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, verse 17 of chapter 1. So when we find here that Jonah took the bidding of the Lord, what he wanted him to do, told him what to preach. So Jonah arose and went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, a 3 days' journey, and we have the numbers. We've talked just kind of, again, I'm a stickler on review, so we kind of remember things here. 70,000 persons, and so it's thought that that cannot discern between the right hand and the left, and so being the children, so it's thought that there's somewhere between 600 and 800,000 people that could have lived in these three cities, in these areas here. And so what a revival, tremendous, tremendous revival. And so Jonah did what he said he was going to do. Jonah entered in the city, a day's journey, verse 4 says, and he proclaimed the exact words the Lord told him to proclaim, and those words are that yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And then we've seen the revival, the joy of just pleading with a righteous God, just in hope that maybe God would have mercy on them. They weren't promised anything. They weren't promised a single thing. They weren't promised that it would turn out this way, that he would not destroy him in 40 days. We've talked about the mercy of God. Why didn't God just, there were evil, evil people. Why didn't God just come in and destroy him? because he showed mercy. He gave them an opportunity to respond. God gives us opportunities to respond. Now, if we reject the gospel, then we die in our sins. We're totally separated from God eternally. What an awful time. I can't imagine. Sometimes we see some very ungodly things that go on in this world and in this country that we live in. But the presence of God is here, and the presence is in the church. The Holy Spirit lives within every believer. The Holy Spirit here is at work to bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the word is proclaimed, the Spirit will go forth, and hopefully you will let the Holy Spirit tell you, instruct you, show you the way of salvation. And that way is only through the only begotten Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to come by faith to Him. You need to trust in Him. It's your choice. No one can force you. No one can demand that you do that. It is free will. Other religions have you working your way there. It is God's grace. God's grace saved these people. God's grace brought that message and gave them 40 days to think on it. But it doesn't appear like it took 40 days for them to figure out that the Word of God is true. How many days does it take you to figure out that the Word of God is true? The Word of God is true. We go verse by verse through these precious scriptures, the studies that we've had through all the wonderful years in proclaiming the Word of God. We need to realize that the truth we have in our hand in this great old King James Bible that I've got in my hands, as we proclaim the Word of God, as we enjoy the Word of God, it is wonderful. And I pray that you will listen and respond. I don't know that you'll have 40 days to make this decision. The Scripture tells us today is the day of salvation. It doesn't say tomorrow. It doesn't say, as Jonah told these people, you have 40 days. Now, you may have 40 days. You may have 60. You may have 10 years. I don't know what you have. And I don't know how many opportunities you'll have to come by faith to the Lord Jesus. But you need to make your mind up. These folks made a wonderful decision. And that was this decision was to turn from their wicked ways, to repent and turn unto the Lord. To repent means to make an about face, the direction you're going, the things that you're doing, and you turn from those. And when you do that, that is when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. The Spirit of God will show you who you are, how wicked you are. He showed me how wicked I was. And then he takes you by the hand and shows you the way of salvation. He brings you to the cross of Calvary, where Jesus died on that cross to save your sins, to take your sins away, to save your old rotten soul. My old rotten soul was saved at Calvary because Jesus died on that cross to take my sin away. What a joy it is to walk each day knowing the Lord Jesus Christ has saved me and the Lord Jesus Christ keeps me. And it's a joy to walk each day in this life awaiting His return. And if I have to face the grave, I face the grave, because when I take that last breath or that last heartbeat, God calls me home and I'm going to be in His presence immediately. What a wonderful, wonderful day that will be. And so please that you look to the Lord Jesus Christ. These people of Nineveh did. And again, it doesn't tell us, but it has the appearance that immediately, they didn't wait the 40 days. They didn't test God to see. They wanted God's mercy. God gave them mercy in giving them 40 days to think on it. But they didn't take the 40 days. They accepted, I believe, immediately that grace of God, and wonderful. And they I don't know. This is their words. I don't know if God will turn and save us. I don't know whether He will, but that was the only opportunity that they had. The only opportunity. So you need to understand, with you, with me, there's only one opportunity of salvation. It's not through a certain religion. It's through a relationship with the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, the Lord Jesus. You need to call upon Him to save you. He will save you. The Spirit of God will come into your heart and will stay there eternally. Please, that you would trust in the Lord Jesus. These people pleaded with God. Would you please? There was no, you know, we have. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What did they have? They have yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That's the word they had. What's the difference? These people believe God. They believed He was going to do it. And will God have mercy on me? Will God have mercy? That was their question. Let's look at this. In verse 9, who can tell? This is in chapter 3. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from His fierce anger, that we perish not? Now, there's a little cross-reference here. Back in Zechariah 8:14, and we're gonna turn there. Again, it's a very small book, so Zechariah chapter 8, verse 15. Zechariah 8, 15, 14, I'm sorry. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, as I thought to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, saith the Lord of hosts, and I repented not. Repented not. Now that was in Zechariah. That was 300 years later that was spoken. But as we look at this word repentance, it means eased or comforted. And so will, in verse 9, who can tell if God will turn and comfort us or back off from His command of destroying us? Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from His fierce anger and we perish not? Who can tell? That was the statement. But it's worth the chance because we have no other chance. What was going on here in these people's lives from the king on down? They believed the Word of God. How did they believe the Word of God? It's because one man proclaimed it. One Jew proclaimed it. The Jews and the Gentiles despised each other, and especially the Jews to the Gentiles. They hated each other. That was one reason why Jonah didn't want to go. He hated these people. I don't care if these people are destroyed. Destroy them. That's the way Jonah looked at it. And we find that how can these words in verse 1 of chapter 4 be true? But it displeased Jonah exceedingly when they repented. And when God turned from His fierce anger, He comforted them because He turned from what He was doing. And we have a couple of verses of Scripture otherwise that we're going to look at as well. But isn't it so sad that Jonah was not happy? Jonah was not excited. But instead of that, Jonah was sad. He was sad at what had taken place. Who can tell if God will turn and repent or comfort, be comfort us and turn away from his fierce anger, and that we perish not. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil ways. You see, they did. They turned. And here's the important thing. It's everything the same with yourself. To turn away from the way you're going now and turn to Jesus Christ. Can you see why I love this little book? It tells us so clearly that God is so merciful. He gives these people 40 days. Now, he may give you 40 days, he may not, but you need to call upon him today. And so God saw their works. He saw that they turned. Now, they weren't working their way to heaven. They were turning from their wicked ways. That's what they were doing. They turned from their wicked ways, and they looked heavenward or down to the ground. They may have been facing the ground because they couldn't even look heavenward, and they were in sackcloth, and they sat in ashes and said, we're sorry, we repent of our sin. Please, please, please forgive us. Spare us. Spare us. That's what they were pleading with. And God saw that. And he turned, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Now, we're going to read some scripture verses in Jeremiah and in Luke both. Scripture verses I believe we've read, but we're going to read them again. It's so important that we understand this word, God repented of the evil. Do you understand that he does the same thing with you and with me when we come by faith to his Son? When we turn and come to the Lord Jesus, his Son, that he turns from the wrath, because the wages of sin is death. We're a sinner. The cost of that sin is death. Now, what are we going to do? Well, God gave us away. He gave the Ninevites away. You see, they were looking forward to the Messiah. We look back. Jesus has come. Jesus has fulfilled the law. Jesus has completed everything when it comes to the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, the opportunity of salvation is there. And by us coming by faith to the Lord Jesus, believing, turning, repenting, he'll save us. And we stop his wrath against us. It's the same thing he did to the Ninevites. And let's look up here in Jeremiah. Let's go back to Jeremiah, and the other one is Luke. Isaiah, Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 7. Jeremiah 18, 7. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it? If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it? If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said, and I would benefit them. And so God has the power to give or to take away, to bring the vengeance of God and the wrath upon the people, upon us individually, or to set us free. But the decision is not because he looked at the Ninevites as, you know, maybe I was a little bit harsh. I'm not going to do this. They had the action. They repented. They turned. It is not that God has changed his mind, because God has placed it into the provision of his will, of his grace, that if we turn to him with a repentant heart, he will save us, and we will put aside that vengeance, that wrath that is against us because of our sin. So you see, it's already put into place. God didn't change his mind. Yes, he chose to comfort them instead of destroying them. Why did he choose that? Because they turned. He didn't wink at what they were doing and decided that, you know, I really shouldn't bring that kind of wrath against them. You know, I just shouldn't do that. That wasn't it at all. It was their decision to turn. They're the ones that took the provision of God to put an end to God's vengeance and wrath against them. It wasn't something God looked at them and then just changed his mind. It was a decision the people made. So when God says the wages of sin is death, he means it. Don't think he's going to change his mind, because he won't. But you can take the provision God has put into place, and that provision is salvation through his Son, the Lord Jesus. So please, trust in Jesus today and come to him. We've got another scripture verse here in Luke that I would like to read. Matthew, Mark, Luke, chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verse 29. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began, "This is an evil generation. They seek a sign. There shall no sign be given but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation." And then, as we've read before, "The queen of the south, the queen of Sheba, shall rise up in judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the uttermost part of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, greater than Solomon is here, being the Lord Jesus. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here." Believe Jonah. Believe the word of God. They believed the word of God spoken by Jonah. God is going to destroy Nineveh in 40 days. They believed that. Will you believe that the wages of sin is death? Will you believe that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? I plead with you that you listen to the word of God. That you listen to the word of God. God had mercy on these people to give them 40 days. And then he showed them greater mercy when they turned to him. God still has that same great mercy to give to you and give to me. Now, we're going to read this first verse of chapter 4, and that's where we'll start next time, because we're just about out of time already. "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly. He was very angry." Now, what in the world could make a prophet, a preacher of the word of God, so angry with the Lord and angry of what these people have the result of his preaching? Oh, he should be down there enjoying and fellowshipping with them and saying, "I will help you to grow closer and closer to the Lord." Instead of that, he was angry, very angry, the scripture says. And then he begins to explain to the Lord, "This is why I didn't want to come. That the people would repent, that's the reason that you didn't want to come, that the Ninevites would be saved, hundreds of thousands of them saved, and yet you're sitting here and saying that that's the reason I didn't want to come?" Think about that. We're going to start with verse 1, chapter 4, next time. My dear friend, What are you going to do about Jesus?